left 10. Barr dumps it in and it's Waller. He spins into the end zone for the touchdown. Watching greatness on one end in the Bronx. There's a dude with 35 in white getting it done defensively and then offensively. Taking over the fight. Mama, there goes that man.
Everybody, and welcome back to this week's edition of the Waterboy Experience. I am your host, the Waterboy himself, Davis McLemore. And God, are we tired and sick this week. Jason is, he's not out, he's still here, but he's going to be relatively quiet for once in his life. We got a lot to talk about. A lot of shakeups in the NFL are happening. We also got Formula One race to review, and we're not going to go into very many details about Hornergate right now, or Hornygate. Because we don't know what's true and what's facts. But anyway, here to help me sort through this whole mess that was a crazy NFL week is my good buddy, the CEO and CFO of Nye Productions, the Red Bull chugging son of a gun. He's sicker than a dog on Tuesday. Look, man, give me some slack. We're tired. But I'm trying to find some kind of saying here.
Go home already!
Mr. Jason Chaddix. Jason, how are you?
Well, I'm sick as a dog, like you said. I'm not feeling great. I'm feeling under the weather. I can barely sound decent, even though I didn't sound good to begin with. I sound even worse. So I'm really struggling right now. But luckily for this episode, it is not a Formula One-centric episode, even though we're reviewing the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. It is a football-centric episode because, well, I'll be honest, Formula One is the drizzling shits right about now.
I agree. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think happened this week in the Formula One episode? I'll give you 2 seconds to think about it. And you're correct, Max Verstappen won.
Yep. But there is some interesting things that happened. Carlos Sainz, he was ill leading up to the race weekend, and then he just kept on feeling worse. And then a couple hours before free practice 3, it was announced that he was in the hospital having emergency surgery because his appendix was ready to burst. And so they called up the reserve driver who is right now fighting in Formula 2. He is Oliver Bearman.
Oliver Bearman. The Bearman.
Ollie, as we like to call him.
Oh, Ollie. Ollie Bear.
And he was called up and he did free practice 3. He did qualifying and he raced in the race. And I quite honestly think this kid is fucking phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. He did fantastic.
He, I think he ended up 8th or 7th, and he was struggling against Lewis Hamilton and Nico Hülkenberg, but kid was told, hey, you got an hour to practice, then you have to qualify in the car, and then you have to race in the race, and you've never driven a Formula One car in your life.
For his first time doing that, you know, phenomenal. We will watch your career with great interest.
Yes, especially because the headrest of the Ferrari he was driving in, a little portion of it started to cave in because of the G-forces. And when people were watching the comparison of Oliver Bearman and Charles Leclerc through certain turns, you saw Charles Leclerc's head was straight. It was just focused on what he was doing. Oliver Bearman's head started to lean towards that corner because of the G-force in his neck. It's not strong enough, and he had to learn a ton of stuff. For example, did you know that the Formula One steering wheel, there's so many combinations that the drivers can do that I believe in a Red Bull thing that they were doing with Terry Crews, they were telling him, okay, this is a Formula One steering wheel and there's 110 different combinations that drivers can do and they have to know this. And Terry's like, they have to memorize this shit? And they're like, yeah. So Oliver Bearman, he had to memorize that stuff, and a lot of people don't know, but Formula Two cars, they have less aerodynamics than a Formula One car. They're not hybrid cars. They're straight V6s, I believe. And it's just a simpler machine. So in a couple of hours, he was told, hey, you have to be good enough to race in Formula One. And he was like, okay.
Oh, shit. I think he put it very well at the end of the race. He said, Formula Two cars, the driver is taking the car to the limits. In Formula One, the car is taking the driver to its limits.
Yes, but he did phenomenal. Like I said, his career is very interesting.
Let me ask you this real quick. So there's a Mercedes seat opening up.
No.
There's not.
No. Like, I know where you're going with this.
Oh, you know what I'm going with. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to get that seat because he's a Ferrari Driver Academy driver.
I'm proposing a trade here.
Okay, but you would lose that great driver.
A first and third round pick in Lewis Hamilton for a fourth and fifth round pick in Oliver Bearman.
Well, here's the thing. Mercedes think they have the next Max Verstappen in Kimi Antonello, I believe his name was.
Another Kimi. What day we live in where we have
but I think
another Nico and another Kimi.
Well, to be fair, I think this guy's Italian.
And we still have Fernando Alonso.
And he raced with both.
Yeah.
But Kimi Antonelli, he looks like he's going to be Mercedes' next prospect. And from the looks of it, he's not going to get the Mercedes seat this year. I mean, next year. He's not going to get the Mercedes seat. What they're going to do is they're going to give him the George Russell route where they're going to put him in a minor team, probably Williams. And they're going to let him grow. And they're going to let him get experience without having the pressure of, okay, you're in Mercedes. You have to give 120%. You have no chance for errors.
So if we're going the route that you're saying here and they move him to Williams, would it be a good idea to take Alex Albon and put him in a Mercedes? We would love to see that.
Yes, we would love to see that. But here's the thing. Does Albon want to go to Mercedes, and does Mercedes want Albon? Because if you ask me, okay, who has shown more potential? Carlos Sainz, who just got dropped by Ferrari, or Alex Albon? I gotta go with Carlos. I love Alex, but I gotta go with Carlos. He's got more reasons to prove himself.
We've always said it. Carlos is one of, if not the most consistent driver on the grid.
Yes.
So.
At times, he was making Charles Leclerc look like a putz.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to say, like, it's going to be out there, but Kimi might follow the same route that George did. And, you know, Valtteri Bottas was a Williams driver. Well, not a Williams driver, but a Mercedes Junior driver, I believe. And they put him in Williams. And then when Nico Rosberg left, they're like, all right, Valtteri, come up.
It's your shot. Spank him on the ass and put him in the car.
And then a couple years later, they brought in George Russell, another great talent. And then when Valtteri was done, they're like, all right, George, it's your time to shine. And he's done pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
He's still inexperienced compared to Lewis, compared to Valtteri. But I think he's a really great driver and he should be the future.
Going forward, you need to put your eggs.
But if Kimi is as good as they tout him to be, because remember, Mercedes dropped the ball on Max. And the reason why Max went with Red Bull is because Red Bull had two teams, Toro Rosso and Red Bull Racing. And they're like, Max, we can skip Formula 2 and you can come right into Formula 1 because we got a team ready for you. Mercedes didn't have that option. And I think Mercedes tried to put him into, like, okay, we'll bring you up to Formula, we have to bring you to Formula 2, but we'll bring you into Williams or something like that. And Max and his father were like, no. Like, we got a better shot going with Red Bull. And it ended up working well. So now they're not dropping the ball with Kimi, but is the hype worth everything? Because he's not doing hot in Formula 2. But at the same time, Max wasn't doing hot in Formula 3, and look at him where he's at now. So it's one of those things where it's like, we got to watch out for this kid. Maybe he's everything he sounded out to be, but maybe he's not. I highly doubt he's going to be the next Max Verstappen.
Not at all. I think he's going to stay as that number two guy behind George Russell, and George Russell will be leading the charge for Mercedes.
Yes. But Oliver, going back to Oliver Bearman, they're saying that maybe Kevin Magnussen isn't going to be with the team next year. His contract is up.
Oh.
And team principal for Haas, Atuyo, I forget his name. I got to look it up, his name. But he said, I'm really liking this kid. I'm really interested in Oliver. And there have been talks that maybe Oliver's going to be in Haas next year. And I think that's a great idea. Give him a couple of years to work it out. See what happens with Lewis and Charles. Because here's the question. If Oliver Bearman is ready to make the jump to Ferrari, but Ferrari's having success with Lewis and Charles, do you really want to change it up? But at the same time, I'm saying, well, look, Lewis Hamilton is going to go out with Ferrari, because Lewis Hamilton wants to have another shot at the world championship.
Right.
And it also says that he has really little faith in Mercedes. But also Lewis Hamilton is old. So it's like, oh, it's a very tight race. Like, we got to wait and see how Lewis does at Ferrari. And if he doesn't work out, well, you got Oliver Bearman. But if he works out, what happens to Oliver?
The world may never know until then. But we'll know in time.
I thought he was great. Like I said, I have a lot of hype hope for him. And I'm going to start watching the Formula 2 feeder series, as well as Formula 1 Academy a little bit. Because one of the girls there, and I forget her name, but she ended up getting pole position almost an entire second faster than everybody else.
Wow.
And then she won the race. The first race, fucking brilliant. Then she won the second race, fucking brilliant. But they forgot to tell her that she won the race and to stop racing and to bring the car in. She went through the checker flag twice, and she ended up being disqualified.
Oh, what?
But that's on the team. That's not on her.
Yeah, no, no, no.
That's on the team. But this girl has a lot of talent, and I think she's somebody we should keep an eye on. But here's a bit of an issue that I have. She's great, and I want to see her in Formula 3 and Formula 2, but everybody else on that grid, like, I'm sorry, you're not, if the deficit between first and second is almost a second, if there's a huge time, like, between first, second, and third, there was such a huge difference.
Yeah, they're not doing something right.
I don't think they're talented enough, and I know look, I'm not saying girls can't do it in Formula One or like in racing. I'm sure they can. But the people they chose to be in Formula Academy, they need to choose better people for everybody else because it's the same car. It's the same almost everything. But you have such a huge difference between skill levels.
That's the hard part, is you have to discern what is her and what's just the rest of the grid.
Yes. Now, I would love to see her race against Jamie Chadwick, because when they did I can't remember what the name for the all women feeder series that was supposed to do the same thing as Formula Academy, Jamie Chadwick completely decimated the competition. Fucking phenomenal girl. I want to see her and this new girl go at it, because I think that would be great racing. And then we would really see, okay, what is talent and what is the rest of the grid?
Well, are we ready to move on?
Yeah, I think we spent more time talking about junior drivers.
Yeah, you said you weren't going to talk much today, and you did.
I did, but I said I wasn't going to talk much about Formula One.
Oh, yeah, well, you talked about the feeder series. That's different.
The fact that is more interesting
than what's going on in Formula One, yeah.
You know, Max Verstappen and Checo Perez have been some of the few drivers who have not been overtaken this entire season.
That's fucking crazy. I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting sick and tired of this, man.
Hey, we're not watching the next few races. Well, at least I'm not.
I'll just watch Talladega Nights and the Ballad of Ricky Bobby over and over again, and that'll be better racing than what we're getting now.
Or we can just watch the things going on in the world of football, because I think that's a little bit more interesting.
We certainly should. All right, so we're not going to talk about all of this because there's so many moves going on.
But we're
going
to talk about the
big ones.
Big ones. So especially one in Pacific where, even though I've talked a lot, I'm cutting a promo on this team and I'm cutting a promo on this loser.
We'll get to him in a minute. So to start things off, first we're going to say Mac Jones, quarterback for the Patriots, he was horrible, is being traded to
the Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
As a reserve quarterback?
He's going to be backup. Yeah. Yep. Same thing.
Backup
to Trevor Lawrence. You know, fine deal. Okay. Whatever. Mac Jones era is over in New England. Thank fucking God for New England fans. I'm really curious what they're going to do at quarterback. They got a lot of options now. I mean, Justin Fields. They're also sitting at that number 3 overall draft pick.
We'll and they got a new head coach.
And they got a new head coach. And we don't know if this guy is going to be good or not. We're going to have to see. Patriots, you know, I don't have a lot of optimism for them, but I'm still interested in what they're going
to
do.
Look, I honestly think it was a really bad idea for the Jaguars to get Mac Jones, just because
if your last resort, if let's say Trevor Lawrence got hurt, and he has a history of getting hurt because he got hurt. That's the past season. If he's hurt and he's out for the rest of the year, you might as well just not suit up and play at all over putting Mac Jones in.
Yes, throw the towel in. Be like, all right, that's our season. Thank you guys for coming. We'll see you next year. Maybe Trevor Lawrence won't get hurt again, but we're not putting that guy up there.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
I'd rather have Aiden O'Connell than Mac Jones. And I don't like Aiden O'Connell. I think he's a drizzling shits. I think he's a
He beat the Chiefs by not completing a single pass in three quarters, and he only threw for 95 yards in the whole game. But he beat the Chiefs. Anyway, we're going to move on to a more promising quarterback. And I'm very happy about this one because Baker Mayfield, a guy that we're pretty high on right now, is staying with the Buccaneers. How do you feel about that?
A 3-year extension, I believe.
Yes.
You know what? Smart move. I genuinely think that's a really smart move. We thought that Baker was going to, they were going to throw Baker away. That was the rumor. But no, they extended his contract. Brilliant move because I love everything that he did this past year, especially during the playoffs. I thought, give him a chance.
He's going to get about $33 million a year, and $50 million of that is guaranteed.
God, who makes these contracts?
The quarterbacks. But I'm not against that. I mean, he took you to the playoffs. I mean, and he got you playoff wins. I'm for it. But you already got rid of Mike Evans.
Well, the thing is, it's not the $30 million a year that's the thing for me. It's the $50 million guarantee. And this is going to come up later in the episode. I think guaranteeing that much money is stupid.
Oh, yeah. Because you never know how well they're going to perform. You know, in our case, by the way, I'll jump into the next topic. Jimmy Garoppolo has officially been cut by the Raiders. Thank fucking God.
And thank fucking God he failed that piss test.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but a lot of his money was guaranteed, and we're going to have to pay that out. So
I thought because of the...
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. So
you're thinking about the main event.
I am thinking about the main event. We'll get to that.
Because he failed the piss test, they don't have to pay him off.
Exactly. So we're all good.
You're all good. But like this whole thing of guaranteeing the money, and it's like, no. I wouldn't guarantee the money. I would say, look, you're going to get this much money, but we're going to put a performance clause in your contract. Because if you're the drizzling shits, we don't want you.
Oh yeah, no. If you don't show up to play, you're gone.
If you're hurt, but you're still good and you did a really good job, we're gonna pay you, and you're not gonna get cut. But if you're the drizzling shits, this is not a free ride.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a great idea. Let's see what happens. Like what weapons they get him. But that's the thing that worries me. Mike Evans wasn't hired, so is Baker going to have the weapons he needs?
And that's the problem. Baker doesn't work well if he doesn't have weapons.
But it can't be worse than his stint with the Panthers.
Oh, no, it can't. While we were on the topic of Jimmy Garoppolo, we'll stay on the Raiders real quick. Josh Jacobs, unfortunately, is leaving us for the Green Bay Packers. I'm not beat up about it. You know, it is what it is. He's able to take bigger money elsewhere. And I know a lot of Raver fans are like, you know, oh, traitor, all this kind of shit. I'm like, look. If he went to the Chiefs, that'd be a different deal. Then I'd be fucking pissed. Then we'd have heat. But no, he's going to the Packers.
I got heat with him now.
Yeah. He's going to the Packers. And
great weapon for Jordan Love.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's an upgrade from Aaron Jones, who he's been off and on the past several years. And so has Josh Jacobs, but Josh Jacobs has been more consistent than Aaron Jones. But
I think after dealing with McDumbfuck, dealing with all this drama with the Raiders, I think he's just done with it all and he needs breath of fresh air.
Oh, yeah. And what better place than Green Bay? It's beautiful up there. So
cold as hell.
Cold as hell, but and we'll see how he adapts to that because he's used to playing in Alabama and Las Vegas. So we'll see. I hope it works out really well for him. And they've got a good offensive line over there, good offensive unit. It'll work.
But
so,
being in the Midwest, I do want to move on, if you don't mind, to one of the biggest fucking fumbles of the year. The Vikings have gotten rid of Kirk Cousins. Instead, now, instead of playing for the Vikings, he is now playing for the Atlanta Falcons. What was the contract? $40 million a year?
A little over $40 million a year.
For the next 3-4 years?
For the next 4 years, yes. So...
Okay, first off,
we got a lot to say about this one.
First off, that is a lot of money for mediocre performance. And a lot of people are saying, but it's the people around him. He didn't have weapons. Like, the team failed him. And I'm like, no.
You had Justin Jefferson. You had Stephon Diggs. You had Dalvin Cook. You had Adam Thielen. And you couldn't take this team deep into the playoffs?
2022, when we first started this podcast and I told you, oh, fuck, the Vikings, dude, they won the first opening game. They were looking like a great team. It went downhill real quick after that.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't hurt then.
And I'm not...
What's their excuse then? What's their excuse? Kirk Cousins is 35 years old.
Old.
He's old as hell. He, in my honest opinion, he's mediocre as a quarterback. Because otherwise, why would the Vikings get rid of him? Except he's asking for way too much money. And honestly, they're better off with somebody else.
And yes, he's produced great moments and several years ago took them to the NFC Championship game. Impressive. Great. But it comes back to the same conversation we have with Dak Prescott. He's good enough, but he won't take you to that next level. Garrett, all right, so to be fair, anything is better than what the Atlanta Falcons have been doing for the past several years. Anything.
Yes.
So, yes, this is an upgrade. But you signed this guy to such a big contract.
A lot of it guaranteed. I think $80 million guaranteed.
Something like that. You signed this guy to such a big contract. Yes, you have the weapons. But he has proven in the past that he can't do it even if you give him the weapons. I think Stephen A. Smith, I disagree with a lot that he says.
That's a lie.
Starting to agree with him more.
Recently, you have been agreeing with him a lot. So for you to say, I disagree with him, no, you don't, motherfucker. You're starting to agree with him almost all the time.
But he brought up a great point. He has less playoff wins than Dak Prescott, who we have openly shit on this podcast. So if we're going to put him on the tier beneath Dak Prescott, does he deserve over $40 million a year? No. Does he deserve to have this hype around him because he puts in gold teeth and all of a sudden he's cool now? No, not at all. This is a guy who is a mediocre quarterback at best. And people somehow have overhyped him. He hasn't made it anywhere. Will he put up good numbers? I'm sure he will. But anything is better. You went 7-10 last year, and I hope you're happy for your upgrade from going from 7-10 to 8-1. That's 8 wins, 8 losses, 1 tie. That's what I think they're going to go this year. So I know Atlanta Falcon fans, they want to be happy about this, but you're missing the point and you're ignoring the root cause. The Atlanta Falcons have so much other shit wrong with them besides just a quarterback.
Yes, and to further show how stupid this is from the NFL.com, and it talks about his contract. The veteran quarterback has agreed to a 4-year, $180 million contract.
Shit.
Cousins' deals includes a $50 million signing bonus and $90 million guaranteed over the next 2 seasons with an additional $10 million guaranteed for 26 for a whopping $100 million in total guarantees.
Oh my God.
It's worse than we thought.
It's much worse than we thought. Well, thanks for coming, Atlanta.
Oh, look, I told you, that guy, if it was me, I would have given him a $20 million tops deal. That's it. $20
million. $20 million is a little low. I would have given him 30, and if he gets you to the playoffs, give him $5
million. I would have given him $20 million for between the next 2 years, and I would have been like, okay, if you take us to the playoffs, I'll give you $5 million for first round, and then after that, I'll give you another $5 million, and then we'll discuss if you get us to the championship game. We'll discuss more money.
Yeah. If he gets you to the championship game, then you got to start talking about more money.
Yeah, but I would be willing to be like, okay, I might give you $30 million for the year. I might give you $40 million for the year if you get us to this point. But your base year, like what you're going to be paid every year is going to be $40 million between 2 years. And there's going to be bonuses if you get us to the playoffs, if you get us to the championship game. Okay, then we're talking, all right, I'm going to give you nice bonuses because you deserved it. But that's only if you get us there. And we're going to have a performance clause where it says, if you're the drizzling shits, I'm cutting you. I ain't got to pay you jack shit.
And that's the big problem with a lot of these contracts they're doing nowadays is they're stacking all of this guaranteed money. That's why the Browns are losing the Deshaun Watson deal because they got to pay him so much fucking money. You want to pay a quarterback before you even know how he's going to play. You have no guarantee that he's going to be good. And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is a terrible quarterback. I'm just saying I know you are. I'm just saying he's not worth what you're paying him, and he's not going to do what you think he's going to do. He's no Matt Ryan.
Look, Matt Ryan wasn't that great to begin with.
Matt Ryan was okay. At least Matt Ryan took them to a Super Bowl where they, and I hate to bring this up again, but I actually don't. I love bringing it up, where they choked a 28-3 lead.
Brady couldn't believe it.
Brady couldn't believe it, and he won that game.
Brady still doesn't believe it.
So, yeah, here we are. I'm going to move on to the next one. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Running back for the Giants, Saquon Barkley, is moving on to the Eagles. Great fucking move.
It is. It hurts the Giants, but you haven't given him any incentive to stay.
You haven't paid him.
No.
You're not a good team.
No.
He's the hardest worker on your team, and you're not doing anything with him.
Yes.
Might as well just let him go.
You don't even
else.
Have a quarterback.
No, because they're done with Daniel Jones.
And the, what you call it, the Paisan.
The passing Paisan. I hope he's the starting quarterback.
Was a failed project.
I really hope he's the starting quarterback week one, just so I can say that again. And he'll fucking, like, tank. He'll throw, like, for only 150 yards, 3 interceptions.
He'll be sleeping with the fishes before halftime.
We'll see. I'll make him an offer he cannot refuse. But. So, yeah, getting out of the Giants was the best thing for Saquon Barkley. And if you want to go to a contender team, and that's the one thing that Eagles really didn't have last year was a great running game, Saquon will add to that.
Towards the end, they didn't have a great anything.
Yeah, no. But I'm really hoping Saquon Barkley adds to that and the Eagles are able to bounce back from whatever happened this past year. So, great signing. But the Giants, in turn, they're signing Texans running back Devin Singletary, who, he's good, but he's not great. He averages probably about 900 yards a season. He's probably, I would put him in the same tier as Aaron Jones. So, I don't know. This is hard for me because I like Devin Singletary. I think he did great things with the Texans this year. But going to the Giants, it's only going to hurt him because you see how hard it was for Saquon. How can you go to the Giants and think there's any faith? Probably money because they got a fuck ton of it now that they got rid of Saquon.
Simple, like you said, money.
It's money.
That's the only reason he's going. They're paying him a lot of money and he's probably also thinking, well, at least I don't got to work as hard.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't. Also, the Washington Commanders hired Austin Eckler. If you're looking for a running back, Austin Eckler is your guy. He's a great guy. Not much else to be said about that.
Can we talk about the main event now? Let's talk about the main event.
Oh, we can't talk about the main event
yet. Wait. Didn't the Raiders do something today?
I know we signed Christian Wilkins, defensive end. He'll be a great addition to our defensive line that is already stellar with Max Crosby. We're also looking at adding an interior defensive lineman, which if it was up to me, I would put Christian Wilkins on the interior. So there's that. It's being reported that the New Orleans Saints have sent a trade offer for Falcons quarterback Desmond Ridder, and the deal is pretty much finalized.
What about the 2-year deal with Gardner Minshew?
Oh yeah, Gardner Minshew. Minshew mania. Great guy. He's not a stellar quarterback at all, but he'll be a solid backup for whoever we end up getting.
Are we sure that he's going to be a backup?
I'm pretty sure he's going to be a backup.
Doesn't say he's going to be a backup, does it?
I mean, it doesn't say that, but We don't even know who our quarterback's going to be for sure next year. Worst case scenario, he starts. I also want to make mention, Derrick Henry is signing with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Derrick Henry's a good guy, good player. He's 30 years old. I'm not saying he's washed. I'm not saying
what position?
That. Running back for the Titans. He was a top-tier running back several years ago. But it goes back to the whole thing, like, honestly, he's going to go to the Ravens and he's not going to get used. I don't even think he's going to top 1,000 yards rushing with the Ravens. But the problem is he is older, and I don't know. We'll see what happens with him. Well, yeah, a bunch of other fucking moves have happened. If you want to go look at those, they're on ESPN, I'm sure. But let's get to the main event. Russell Wilson is signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Give me your thoughts first.
Well, I'm actually going to give you a little bit more facts. Russell Wilson is going to be paid by the Denver Broncos to be playing for the Steelers. Because remember, they owe him like $80 million guaranteed or something like that.
Yeah, that's dead money they're having to eat.
So this year they're paying him $38 million to play for the Steelers. Meanwhile, the Steelers have signed him to a $1.2 million contract for this year.
Honestly, the Steelers are making out pretty good on this. I mean, quarterback-wise, you know, you could have found a better quarterback. But only paying your quarterback $1 million, I mean,
I understand why they did it. It's like, okay, this guy in the past has been good, regardless of what some people in the Waterboy are saying.
But you can't be looking at him to be your long-term starter.
Wasn't there a starter, Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, and he wasn't great.
What makes you think Russell Wilson's going to be any better?
You can't be much worse than... The bottom of the barrel here is Kenny Pickett and Mac Jones. Russell Wilson is an upgrade, but listen.
Remember what Jerry Jarrett said to Robert Furler? Robert, it can't get any worse than this.
Oh, Robert, yes, said, it can.
Yes, it can.
But the problem is you're walking into an offense that is already just majorly unproductive.
With Arthur Smith. That's a big
thing.
And
we're acting like Arthur Smith is an upgrade from Matt Canada. No, not at all.
People wanted Canada back after Arthur Smith was announced.
Yeah, it started, it said, fire Matt Canada. And then they hired Arthur Smith and it went, hire Matt Canada.
And now
it's like pressing the delete button. And then you realize you deleted too much. You're just like, fuck, go back.
The backspace meme.
But I don't know. It's just the Steelers are going to be a mess this year. They're going to have so much backstage drama, locker room drama because of Russell Wilson. And everybody wants to talk about, you know, he brought a lot of unnecessary drama to the Broncos. And he found out really quick, Sean Payton doesn't fuck around with that. And through the whole thing, you know, he has his own personal coaches. Or this different shit about how he meditates before the games, and he's very, you know, he's a weird guy.
Now, some
people
will
see him practicing before the games, and he acts like he's in the huddle, but he's by himself. There's no one around him, and it's like he's talking to other people. And then he's weird. He's strange.
Now, some people have said, well, Tom Brady had his own personal trainer. Yeah, but you don't see the same results with Russell Wilson as you saw with Tom Brady.
And the main thing is Tom Brady had his own coach later in his career because as he got older, he couldn't practice with the rest of the boys. He couldn't do that.
He had to go a different way. He had to figure out something that works for his body now.
Exactly.
Then.
And the whole Russell Wilson thing is he is selfish. And everybody wants to compare, you know, I can't believe we're even speaking about Russell Wilson and Tom Brady in the same sentence, comparing the two. But
a few years ago, you would have said he's better than Brady.
Well, they were playing in the Super Bowl against each other. What else was I going to say? But nowadays, the Russell Wilson thing is selfish. Because as soon as this contract is up, he's going to ask for a ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you, depending on how he plays this year, Russell Wilson is going to ask for upwards of $50 million a year. Not to mention what's guaranteed, and he's going to want to sign a long-term contract. But Russell Wilson is the most diva quarterback in the NFL right now. I say quarterback because there are more diva players than him. And that's, Caleb Williams isn't in there yet, so we'll hold off on him for right now. But right now, Russell Wilson is the title of the diva quarterback because he makes everything about him. He'll start arguments with, you know, all kinds of players. There was a rumor going around that he wouldn't talk directly to Sean Payton. He would get his personal coach to go back and forth and, communicate with Sean Payton. Like, yeah, Russell doesn't want to do that.
Wasn't something, a rumor going around about almost the same thing that Bill Belichick didn't want to talk to Mac Jones and they had somebody go in between them?
That sounds right, but you know what?
Belichick really hated Mac Jones, apparently.
Yeah, he's no Tom Brady. But also, apparently, towards the end, he didn't like Tom Brady either, so. But I don't know. Steelers can do better than Russell Wilson. I'm not saying, you know, you have to settle with Kenny Pickett for one more year, because God knows how fucking bad that would be, but you're signing a quarterback that you know is at the tail end of his career. You saw how he did the past couple years. He failed. And now you're willing to let him back in to an offense that's already struggling? It's not the smartest move for me.
Now, I do have a solution to all our problems while keeping Russell Wilson in the NFL.
They trade for the passing paisan, Tommy DeVito. Come on.
God, that was the worst thing that happened. No. Hire Antonio Brown and put him right next to Russell Wilson. And you'll say, well, you know, that Russell Wilson guy, he's great. Antonio Brown, he's the dressing shits. I hate his guts.
Well, what you could do is you see how crazy Russell Wilson is. Stick him next to AB. You'd be like, you know, Russell Wilson isn't that bad of a guy.
You know, he's got a point with the whole meditation shit. You know, we kind of need that shit because otherwise we're going to end up killing AP.
At least his brain isn't damaged beyond repair now.
I thought we were talking about AP and not Gronk.
Oh, my God.
No, look, say what you want. Gronk is really cool.
He is cool. But I want to get a podcast of Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski having a conversation with each other.
And Russell Wilson is the mediator.
He would make it about him. He would be like, so guys, enough about me. What do you think about me?
And then in the background, you hear Prescott go, hey, I can't do the voice. I can't do the voice.
I know what you're talking about. I can't do the voice.
I can't do the voice because my voice is shot.
But
look, here's my question, though. Who thought this was a brilliant fucking idea? Like, seriously.
Arthur Smith?
You got me there, motherfucker. Because I was thinking, what dumb motherfucker brings in Russell Wilson, seeing everything that he has failed to accomplish, seeing all the behind the scenes. And I forgot Arthur Smith was probably the one who decided to get him.
Yeah.
You just ruined my entire argument because I was going to say, what Johnny dumb fuck decided? And then you said Arthur Smith. I'm like, oh, that's right. That dumb fuck.
But if you're the Steelers, and I like Mike Tomlin.
Sell the team.
Successful. Well, there's another option. If you're a Steelers fan, if this year doesn't work out, if the Russell Wilson project fails here as well, you got to start pointing the finger at Mike Tomlin for letting this happen.
Actually, you got to start pointing the finger at yourself for still supporting a shit-ass team like that.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you mean.
And he's been around for forever. He's won Super Bowls. I get that, and I like Mike Tomlin. He's a good guy, good coach. But at a certain point, you've suffered through so much, you kind of have to start pointing the finger at the guy running the show for letting all this happen. Sure, it might not be directly his fault. It's not his fault that Matt Canada was a total fucking dumb fuck. And it's not going to be his fault that Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson don't get along or whatever it is. But at a certain point, he's been there through all that. He's the common denominator in all this. You got to start pointing fingers at Mike Tomlin. You got to start thinking about letting him go.
Yeah, but it's kind of...
But the Steelers have only had either three or four head coaches in their entire existence.
How many Super Bowl wins?
5, 6. They're one of the, you know, more decorated franchises. Most of them came with Chuck Knoll, but... You know,
if it doesn't work with the guy you got right now, why the fuck do you think it'll work next year? Bill Belichick is off his rockers and they fired him.
Oh, yeah. And it didn't, it only took a couple years for them to figure out, yeah, he's got to go. The Mike Tomlin thing has taken about a decade for them to finally see.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they probably don't give a fuck. And they're like, Jerry Jones, and they're like, that'll work out.
Well, speaking of Jerry Jones, there was only one team that was completely inactive for all of this free agency opening day, all this shit. The Dallas Cowboys did not make a single move, did not sign a single player, nothing.
On the other hand,
is Jerry Jones dead over there?
On the other hand, the Panthers asked for a lot of trades and they rejected because they told them, why the fuck would we want anybody from the Panthers?
You don't have anybody to offer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't afford our guys. You can't even afford food stamps. No, but going back to Jerry Jones, it says one of two things. Either they're really hoping for the draft, like they're hoping that they're going to get their answers with the people in the draft, or he's lost his complete mind, and that was about 20 years behind.
And if he's lost his complete mind, by the way, that means he's really hopeful for the team that he's got.
I mean, they had a great regular season.
Once you get to the playoffs, it doesn't mean much.
No, and apparently it doesn't mean much for the Niners because I think they've also been in the same runt as the Cowboys.
A little bit, yeah.
But at least they go to the Super Bowl.
At least they go to the Super Bowl. And at least they have promise on that team. They have Christian McCaffrey. They have Brock Purdy. A load of good that did. Yeah. Versus Dak Prescott. The same thing every year. Oh, we them boys, we're going all the way. No, you're not. You're going back to Dallas, the first round of the playoffs. Don't give us that again.
I really hope they don't even make it to the first round of the playoffs this year.
I hope they don't make the playoffs either. And then I'd be like, wow. Well, at least something was different this year.
Hallelujah. Something changed.
Hallelujah.
All right. That's enough of this. I'm sick and I don't want to edit as much. So take us home, white boy.
Well,
it's a boring yet. And like, there's a lot of things going on this week, yet it's still boring.
And these free agent things and, you know, trades and all that stuff, it's developing like as we speak. We have the NFL draft coming up to look forward to. Apparently, it's being reported that the Raiders are doing everything in their power to try to get a top 10 pick so they can get Jaden Daniels. We'll see how that works. Like I said, worst case scenario, Gardner Minshew is our week one starter. And that really is.
Oh, God.
Actually, worst case scenario is he gets hurt first game and then we have to go back to Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, God.
But anyways, I'll sign us off. Thank you guys for this episode of The Waterboy Experience. You can follow us on The Waterboy Pod on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever you want to do. Just find us. We're on some kind of social media platform somewhere. You can do something about that. Thank you guys for this episode of The Waterboy Experience. And go Steelers.
Second and goal just outside the 10. Dumps it in there.